This audio experience was brought to you by Courage Media Group. We hope that you enjoy this audio experience and have the time of your life. Tejan talks about entrepreneurship, animation, movies, genres, news, and more. Enjoy the audio experience with Tejan.
What is going on, you guys? There are more updates on TikTok. Even though every time I want to go ahead and step away from TikTok, it seems like there's more and more conspiracies and active like things going on with this app. And it's just an app for social media, along with, you know, being Chinese and all that. It's always surrounded by controversy. So right now, TikTok is being sued by they're suing the U.S. government. At first, they were going to get banned by the U.S. government if they didn't find a buyer in the U.S. Within 45 days. That was the initial plan. But I believe it had changed at some point from 45 days to like 50 something. So that is like, at first it was until mid-September, and then they changed it to almost November. So it seems like TikTok has done it again, and they went ahead and sued. They're taking an initiative of suing the U.S. government, probably over the legality of actually banning an app. They're suing over the legality as such. So according to TechCrunch and so many other sources, TikTok plans on fighting back against Trump's executive order on the grounds that it was enacted without evidence and without due process. And there is a little problem with that, dealing with foreign entities. When it comes to foreign entities and such like that, not everything in court is dealt the same. Because first of all, it's a foreign entity, so it's like, whose rules do the app abide by, or the company abide by? It depends on what country basically starts the court case. But anyways, the company also claims that the administration ignored TikTok's efforts to address the security concerns that they've been having with whatever. And I personally believe that it's probably going to be a very hard case to win, because China already said if you force them to go ahead and change, if you force TikTok to go ahead and leave China, we're going to come after you with the force of God and all of that. I'm exaggerating just a bit, but they did say that they'll retaliate in a manner that's fitting, of basically stealing one of the biggest apps within the country. So even so, that still sparks security concerns dealing with the United States. It seems like ByteDance really just wants to fight this and continue operating in China until they're able to transfer over into the U.S. because they were already planning to transfer over to the U.S. when the security concerns first arise, when everybody was like, oh, it's stealing my data and stuff like that. You should be worried about, you know, the apps that you already have on your phone. Majority of the apps that you probably have on your phone is able to see your text messages, look at your keyboard, and see what you copy and paste it into other things. A lot of your apps on your phone have that. If you have a keyboard app, it's recording all the keystrokes that you put in. If you got the Gmail app, it's recording all the emails that you send and you receive to ship you ads within the Gmail app and other things. So you just need to be aware that not only is a Chinese company like TikTok taking your information, it's also American companies that are taking your information as well, selling it as anonymous data, and that allows other people, other businesses, to sell ads to you directly. So it's a big business of selling ads. And actually, if we didn't have these ad, if these big companies didn't have this ad revenue, they'd actually have to start charging for the app. Like, think about how useful they are, and then how useless they would be if you couldn't ship ads to it. So Anyways, in terms of the legal challenge, Trump executive's order fails to meet the requirements of the Emergency Powers Act. That was the act they put up to basically safeguard, you know, TikTok. Say we're going to just roll back things until either TikTok gets sold in the U.S. or they, you know, they come back. So my thoughts on this, lots of people saying, you know, TikTok's doing this. They have 45 days. They still have 45 days. It's like my thoughts on this is that TikTok is pretty big, especially since they've started their $2 billion creative fund. So they've been making money, or they're losing money out on this. I believe in a statement they said that they were going to lose money by actually putting this $2 billion fund. And in a way, it actually helps creators from the steps it goes. So if you got 10,000 followers on TikTok, you can get paid for the amount of views that you get. And then if you have 100,000 followers, then you're able to go ahead and take like bigger tasks. You're able to make more money off of your views, and then you're able to go ahead and work with big business and big brands to make advertisements for them within that platform. So it's all good when it comes to them dealing with the money. It's just the process of the legality. They can't move over fast enough without going through all the hoops and hurdles. You know, they have to get through the Chinese government's rules and regulations, and then they also have to get through the American rules and regulations, get bought, and then move all their servers over here. So it would be a very, 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 very lengthy process in a lot of terms. And this is probably the most difficult transition for an app we've ever seen in a long time. You know, even though the American companies and like Google and Facebook and all them, they have to deal with this whole you know, with the whole reckoning that's been happening with the big companies, even though they got to deal with it, they're still American. So it's like their battle is a little bit different. Their battle has to do with people wanting to get rid of, well, when I say people, I actually mean advertisers wanting to get rid of what they believe to be hate speech on the platform and stuff like that. And may I remind you, big brands and stuff like that, they don't really care. Small brands, they don't really care about the people and the individuals. They care about their perception to the individuals. Even if you own your own business, for example, you would care about how you're perceived in the public eye, depending on your business. So when advertisers get involved and they say we're not going to pay for a platform that might upset our users, then that's whatever. I haven't heard anybody say, you know, personally, I don't know anybody that's been yelling, you know, we need to fix the hate speech on YouTube or on Google and on Facebook and stuff like that. For real, those tactics and implications that they do have is pretty big. They got big corporations that do things for them and stuff like that. I'm not saying that they're perfect, but it's like when advertisers get involved with the American companies, that's when those American companies suffer for a little bit. But even Mark Zuckerberg says it's like, you know, those advertisers will come back because they need Facebook's valuable advertisement. Like, could you imagine not going around seeing a Coke ad? Could you imagine not seeing a Coke ad for once after you search Coke or say Coke around your thing? You wouldn't get any Coke ads on Facebook or anything because they're like, you know, we don't support hate speech and stuff like that. That's the battle that American social media companies have to deal with, but not necessarily the Chinese company. And the Chinese company TikTok has been dealing with hate speech online. They've banned like a lot of people, and even if you're a creator that does somewhat like family-friendly content on TikTok, I've seen those creators get banned for probably saying certain words that aren't even probably offensive to some people or whatever. It's just more so that they've probably violated a community guideline or speech guideline that they probably shouldn't have said or something like that, or they didn't mean to say and it sounded like something else and somebody banned it, or they got flagged too many times. And that's how the TikTok algorithm and authorities handle hate speech and stuff like that. They just ban you outright. If you get enough flags on your account, they'll ban you for a little bit, review your account, and let you go through. If you say something or do something on your live that you probably shouldn't have done, they'll ban you and stuff like that. And those simple tactics that they implement is the same tactics that Facebook and YouTube implement. They'll ban you pretty quick if your account is flagged too many times and stuff like that. And it's just that the advertisers got involved when everything became super duper politicized, especially in 2020. So we're going to go ahead and move on to our next topic, and we're going to jump over there. Oh God. So they are doing the CW has ordered for a couple new episodes of a reboot, a live action reboot of the Powerpuff Girls. I'm personally tired of all these live action reboots. I believe it's Disney's fault. There's not much news on it at the moment, but live action reboots period of the past really haven't been that good. CW, Cartoon Network, they've been doing it on a high. Disney has been doing live action remakes on a high, and I think it's actually because of them that we've seen so many live action remakes. Personally, I don't like the live action remakes of most of these other ones because they're trying to update them for today's audience when today's audience is still the same audience as before. So even though people change and stuff like that, the same audience is the same audience. You know, if I bought a Honda back in 2001, I would still probably buy another Honda in 2005 just because that one served me so well. Or vice versa, if I hated it then, I would hate it now. So it's like, with these live action remakes, I don't understand why we put so much effort into creating these reboots. And then with this, according to this article by people.com, is going to be set when they're older and they're adults grappling with their how do you say it? They're grappling with their own problems as being adults because they're not needed anymore. As adults and childhood, they used to fight crime all the time. In the original one that aired in 1998, actually they were in kindergarten, and their professor, which they dubbed the professor, would go ahead and watch them as their pseudo father because he created them. So it's kind of weird that they would choose to update. I always put quotes, air quotes, around this, but it's like I find it weird that they would try to update this for modern audiences. Like, I can understand The Flash and Batman. You can age up Batman, you can age down Batman, you can age up The Flash, you can age down The Flash, you can make Teen Titans remake where they're a little bit older than teens, or where they're young adults, or where they're young, but to update the Powerpuff Girls again, because they already made a reboot of this show back in like 2010 or something like that, and that doesn't make much sense to me, because that reboot was terrible. I'm very much a cartoon person. I told you this podcast from the intro that this podcast does a lot more than just cover regular news, also like pop culture, cartoons and such like that, stocks and ETFs and other things. So don't be too surprised that I'm talking about Powerpuff Girls, because this was one of my childhood favorites. This is a show that ended up not just being targeted at girls, but it actually ended up being like a well-rounded show where it just didn't talk, where it wasn't just super duper girly and super duper boyish, but it found a nice balance where anybody could enjoy it. I rewatch it with my brothers and sisters. They all get the adult jokes now and stuff like that. It's the original is a pretty well-rounded show. The remake that came in like 2010, 2011, something like that. Actually, I could look it up. When did that come out? It came out in 2016. Man, it was kind of terrible. It was bad because the voices changed dramatically. I understand, you know, you can't have the same voice actors all the time. I get it that you can't have the same voice actors all the time, but it's like the characters didn't even feel the same. It was like they tried two times as hard to be the same characters that they once were, because they're also written by newer people, not even the same people that originally made it. I think that Cartoon Network is actually losing money. They can't make money off of the old shows like they used to. The old shows, they used to make money, you know, off of toys and merchandise and such like that. Whereas nowadays, it's a little bit different. People spend time on digital. So could you imagine jumping from physical toy sales, which you could charge a lot more for during Christmas and certain summer times and stuff like that, to jump in totally online, where people are more inclined to buy video games and comic books and such like that. So it's like you're kind of losing money in a sense like that. Because I actually remember them being plush toys and stuff like that for the Powerpuff Girls when I was younger. My sisters had some. They bought it from the store and stuff like that. I remember there being T-shirts and stuff like that. It used to sell for a lot more to have these premium shows, you know, on air. But they're not making video games for the Powerpuff Girls. They're not making extra comic books for the Powerpuff Girls. They kind of messed it up, because I don't know who wrote it. It wasn't funny. I think it was a little bit extra. I hated it. My brother liked some of the episodes, but he got bored of it. My sisters didn't feel like it was the same show and didn't like it. But that's just my take. Other people probably liked it, but my family personally did not like the live action. I mean, not the live action, but the reboot that came out not too long ago. We didn't care for it. So it's like, even with these live action reboots, my take is that they keep on updating. I don't understand the writers. The new writers that come on to these new reboots and new TV shows are all super duper progressive and want certain agendas within their series, and end up not making a story that everybody likes. I think Disney has a little bit more success with that, but even some characters lose their edge. Just for example, Cinderella, was it Cinderella? Or Beauty and the Beast was kind of a bad movie to me. It was a really bad movie to me. It was like, compare that to Aladdin and compare that to the live action remake of Jungle Book and Aladdin. Beauty and the Beast fell short like a whole lot. Beauty and the Beast was bad. Some of the characters didn't feel the same. Guston didn't have the same amount of gusto. His little friend was more annoying than usual. Like, he seemed a little clutchy. What's the word? Clutchy? Touchy? Clingy. He was a little clingy. He was a lot of clingy. I didn't understand why this man was so clingy to Gaston. It's like, he, in the original, I know he relied on Gaston to get his little kick of power, because, you know, with Gaston, nothing could stand in his way, and that's the character that he was. He's kind of, he's like Diago to Jafar. He's the little pet that, you know, gets empowered by his master. So it's kind of weird that those characters didn't feel the same, because it's like, in actuality, after reading some of the articles and actually rewatching it, they were trying to add a whole lot of extra stuff that probably made the characters a little bit devalued from their original essence. Now then, with the Powerpuff Girls live action remake, I'm a little scared. I feel like they're going to mess it up. Maybe the CW will do better, because it's supposed to be taken by the CW. When I say taken, I mean produced by the CW. And CW has some good live action shows, like The Flash and what's that other one? The Green Arrow show. Yeah, so The Flash, The Green Arrow, they made good remakes of those for live action screens. They were mainly cartoons and comic books before that, so they did a good job in making those come to life. Whereas I'm not too sure of the outcome of this Powerpuff Girls remake. So that's something to keep an eye on. I don't think it's going to make it out of development, but maybe, and if it does, hopefully it's good, because either way it might fall away to the same place as the Avatar live action remake, where the original creators don't vouch for it, or it might end up like the Lion King remake, the live action remake, where the original creators like, this is a sham, it does not feel the same, we should get royalties, stuff like that. So depending on the outcome, if they try to update it too much and change the characters so they don't feel the same, or change the world to where it doesn't make sense, then they're going to lose out on the original fan base of the show. Now, if I remember, Powerpuff Girls actually had an episode where the world didn't need them anymore and they wanted to keep fighting. So they already had that existential crisis within their own show when they were kindergartners. Could you imagine like a 5-year-old sitting there like, I can't fight crime anymore. I need to fight crime. That's a, you know, it was a good episode. It's worth the watch, the whole series. The whole original series is really, really good. So I don't understand why they would make them adults. That's a little weird. I would prefer to make them like teenagers, like a Teen Titans thing, where maybe crime is dying down and a new threat is arising in the background. That would be my personal take on it if I was to direct it or something like that. But there's no way to know. Shoot, it says Diablo Cody is going to be writing, and so is Heather Rayner or Veronica Mars. I don't know who those people are. But anyways, yep, that's it for this segment. So
we hope you enjoyed this audio experience. More is on the way, so make sure you subscribe and follow on all social media. Found at Courage Media Group on Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, and more. Follow Courage Media wherever you can, and make sure you have the time of your life.